they had other expectations, and those expectations are now preventing them from seeing the Lord who walks alongside them. They presume to know how God would work. They have formed their own opinions, which are likely more than tinged with their own preferences for how they think God should act. But the Savior sets his own terms. In each instance, and others besides, Jesus asks questions that ferret out our hidden motives, clouded desires, and preset terms. The serpent's tactic is to hide his real intention behind his words, but it is God's intention to seek the person behind the disguises. God does not play a game of deception and hiding. He rejects those terms. The first question the Lord God asks is the one that locates the man hiding behind the trees in the garden. Where are you? Jesus asks questions to find us because we hide. We can hide ourselves in our own questions. The Pharisees once asked Jesus, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar?" They did not ask a question because they were seeking information or enlightenment. They wanted to trap Jesus. They hid their malice in their question. A question can seem so innocent and yet smuggle in such poison. That is the trick of the serpent. Jesus' disciples asked him, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus had been singling out Peter quite a bit, praising him for his faith, and taking him up the mountain along with James and John. The disciples' question is not about the kingdom or even about who is the greatest. Their question centers around their concerns for their own status. It seems that the terms of their discipleship are still, for them, about growing in honor. Those are not the terms of the kingdom. They are not God's terms. When he saw Lazarus' sister Mary pour a pound of oil over Jesus' feet, Judas asked Jesus, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Under the pretense of this, his concern for the poor, Judas decries the lost opportunity to control that money himself. He will not admit it, but instead hides who and what he really is within his question. Even what seems more selfish can be used to express the utmost covetousness. Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" Except he did not really ask. He dismissed his responsibility for this man's life with this question, which only thinly veiled his real concern. He was committed to protecting his own position and currying the favor of Caesar. He aligned himself with Caesar's power, the kingship that is of this world. He cannot hear the voice of Jesus rightly because all his actions, all his thoughts, all his motives pulse with that one overriding concern: be a friend of Caesar. In his question about truth, Pilate proves himself to be a man who has abandoned truthfulness. The questions Jesus asks continually strike at and overturn the kind of questioning the serpent inaugurated. Jesus is the Son of God who seeks us face to face without ulterior motive. Our attempts to hide ourselves from him, even in the very questions we ask, get in the way. It is not just what we ask, it is why we ask, and what we seek by asking. We need to ask Jesus better questions. He wants us to ask questions in truth. We can even ask, "What is truth?"
if we ask him honestly, willing to listen to the response. He invites us to ask about truth truthfully. And to do so, we must be ready to receive him as he is. The questions we ask matter. The reasons why we ask matter. And why we are willing to find also matters. A God who questions continues to ask us, as one of us, to ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Amen.